said what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello, Sterling.
Hi, Blair. How are you?
Oh, boy. I am hungover. So rough is probably the accurate term.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Did you have a very fun night last night?
Yes, I went to go see a show. The only thing was, so it was our good friend Sarah Ross, and she had a show at Club Cumming at 10 p.m., you guys. Like, that is so late for me. I should have been in bed at least 3 hours at that point.
So sort of to combat that, you kind of drank.
Well, here was the thing. I could not find anyone to go with me, so I went by myself. So I get there, and I go to the bar to get a drink, and I have this new thing where I'm like, all right, I don't want to spend so much money on alcohol, so let me get something I don't really love so I can sip on it the whole night. I got a Manhattan, and the guy was like, what kind of bourbon? And I was like, oh, you know, just the...
The regular?
The stuff you put in there, that bourbon. It was one of those things where I started getting uncomfortable because I was by myself, so I drank it fast. And then I was like, well, I have to have another one during the show, so I got another one. So when I got home, I had a pint of ice cream because nothing washes down a good Manhattan like thick, creamy ice cream. After that, I was like, no, I'm still hungry. And so the only thing I had in my house was dates. So oh. I had half a box of dates.
And that, listeners, that's a lot of dates.
This morning I get up and I'm like, I'm starving. And by morning, I mean like 11. I go to Chipotle. It's like I have a vendetta against my colon.
You have a death wish. I don't know if you know, but we are on Apple Podcasts, new and noteworthy podcasts.
Which I do want to say, for those of you who are new listeners, I'm so sorry I opened by telling you about my fibrous life.
But anyways, we really want to welcome all of our new listeners. Really, like, we're so pumped to be doing this podcast. And so if you do enjoy this episode, it would help us a ton if you can tell your friends, rate, review, share, yeah, do whatever.
Ooh, hire a celebrity on Cameo to promote it on our behalf.
You know what you should do? Actually, okay, so last week I went to the coffee shop and there was a plane in the sky writing.
Yeah.
It says S and then a heart. So then I'm on the edge of my seat. Probably like the love of my life, the letter is going to be coming next. And then the letter was M. So it's S, hearts, M. And my last name, Mulberry. So then I'm saying, wait, is this actually just a message about self-love? Okay, guess how much one of those costs for like a single letter to do that in the sky?
God, I can't even imagine.
$3,500. Woof. So you really have to choose your letters real specific. What would you do if someone wrote a love letter message to you in the sky? Would you love that?
I guess it depends on who it is. If it's someone I'm just like not into, I'm like, wow, you just wasted a lot of money. But if it's someone I'm into, I'd probably eat it up.
Okay, if I'm actually dating someone and they were doing that, I'd be like, use the money for a trip. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm sorry, you used what could be fun cash to write a message that is going to go away within 1 single minute. We could be in Greece.
Yeah, it's not, that's when you really need to look into a financial planner at that point because yeah. You are just making poor decisions.
We are so excited for our guests today. They have the absolutely hilarious podcast Stradio Lab, and our comedians, check them out in their many shows around New York. Please welcome George Severus and Sam Taggart.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
It is an honor to be here and truly show our asses. I was just saying this is a great idea for a podcast, and I was like, wait a minute, you guys are asking people to like really go vulnerable.
Yeah, we are really asking people to bare their souls in a form that lives on forever.
I mean, it's truly like, what is a bad thing? What is a bad thing you did?
Okay, just for our listeners, George, can you say hello?
Yes. Hello.
Okay, and Sam.
Oh, am I?
Just so everyone can know the different voices.
I was like, just a hello.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So my name's Sam, and you know, I am 5'11", and what I'm really different from with George is that George is Greek and I am not.
And you're 1 inch taller than me. We get it.
And now I think people will know the difference between us.
I mean, yeah, having multiple gay guys on a podcast can be tough.
We like to ask all our guests that come on our podcast, how do you both kind of approach conflict? That can be kind of like your styles of approach. And then if we could know, how do you then approach conflict with each other? If there's ever, I'm sure there's never been an issue in your friendship.
Never once.
But if there is there like certain roles you both kind of take?
I'll try to go first about how I approach conflict.
And this is Sam speaking.
Sam here, the 5'11 one. I would say I approach conflict. One, I'm definitely conflict averse, but at the same time, I think I try to be direct. Like in my mind, I expect it to be like very clinical where it's like, oh, okay, this happens in like my relationship a lot. I think it's like, it almost like inflames when it goes like, oh, so you think I'm trying to hurt you? And it's like, no. Like, I think I sometimes get too clinical about it.
Now, George, how would you assess what he said? Is that correct?
I'm trying to really process it. I do think Sam is very good at verbalizing his feelings. Or maybe it's just that we, at this point, have worked together for so long that he's at least good with me. and I can only speak from my perspective. I do think Sam is conflict averse in the sense that, like, if there's a group of people and there's clearly an issue and someone has to speak up, I don't know if you would jump at the opportunity to be the first person to
speak
up.
Exactly. I would never.
Like, I think you're a sort of more of a listener in that kind of situation. But I do think one-on-one, you can, if there's a conflict, you are good at articulating it.
I think that's very accurate.
We've had conversations about, like, the differences in our family lives and our upbringing, too, where, like, I would maybe say Sam is sort of Midwestern in some ways. Like, you know, sort of, there's no reason to create a fuss.
I have some WASPy elements.
Some WASPy elements. Whereas I grew up in like a loud Greek family where like everyone was like competing for airtime at all times. Yelling at one another is almost like a form of intimacy. It's like, well, if there is something that we feel passionate about, obviously we're going to yell at one another and literally like call each other curse words in order to like work it out.
Do you feel like the My Big Fat Greek Wedding trilogy is an accurate portrayal of your upbringing?
I don't know if I would recognize the whole trilogy,
yeah,
but
the
I do
whole
think
trilogy.
That, I mean, it is true. And it's not just Greek people, obviously. It's like, you know, Italian people. And I mean, I don't want to like make any sweeping.
Yeah, list all the loud people.
But, you know, it's like, I think it's sort of, if anything, it's sort of like WASPs that are the outlier. Like anyone else who's from any other non-WASP culture will be like, well, let me tell you something about Croatian people. You know, everyone else, I think like WASPs, in my experience at least, and I'm taking Sam out of this, but in my experience are like sort of conflict averse in an almost delirious way where it's like, just say what you think. But having said that, I feel like especially during my teens and my 20s, and part of this was also because of like unresolved trauma and issues and stuff, but I was very like confrontational in the sense that I would like be eager to point out when I'm being wronged, be eager to like start a disagreement. And if anything, I thought I was doing a service because I thought I was like, well, what are we going to do? Like, let this fester? We have to like get it out in the open and talk about it. And I do feel like in the last, let's say, 10 years of my life, I have worked towards not always having that be my first response and like being able to have like more calm, collected conversations.
And what was your process in getting to that point?
I think it was sort of like, you know, that thing that's like, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
I'm currently in that phase.
Yeah. Like, I think, especially with my family, I sort of realized like, and I love my family, but I sort of realized like, wait, we just keep getting into screaming matches. So it's like, if I don't raise my voice, I simply don't have to be part of that. So it's in my power to like end this vicious cycle.
Wait, but really quick, I feel like with you two though, how has your kind of friendship morphed over the years in terms of Like, has it kind of stayed the same in terms of like conflict and working through things and your friends and also work colleagues? Or you can say pass. We're still in the process of working through it.
I feel like it's generally pretty healthy. Like, we can disagree in it, like, and move on from it pretty quickly. We've said this before, and I kind of agree with, I can't tell if now if it's a stock answer or if I do believe it still, okay. But wait, I do feel like our like first conflict was like a big breaking point because it was like very honest, and it was like, you know, when things stop being polite and start getting real.
Yeah, like Sam called me and told me, like, I mean, if I remember correctly, the conflict was that I was not doing enough work and Sam was doing like more than I was. And he called me and was like, hey, like, and in fact, then I was criticizing the work that Sam was doing. So he called me and was like, hey, like, just so you know, like, from my perspective, like, you keep dropping the ball and then I pick it up and then I do something and then you have like criticisms of that. And like, that is not a way forward. And I do think, Sam, please let me know if you disagree on air, but I do think at this point we're pretty 50-50.
Yeah, I think so. I think we definitely are.
I feel like there's hesitation in Sam's voice.
No.
Say more. And it kind of went higher just now, actually.
No. What? What?
Yeah, maybe. 50-50.
Speaking of your podcast, Stradio Lab, which we absolutely adore, if I remember correctly, it sort of started at a beautiful time to be alive, and that was March 2020, which I don't know if we recall, kind of big events were happening in the world. Like, what was kind of the atmosphere of launching this big podcast and then kind of the world collapsing?
Well, we started talking about it like the year before at the end of the year. And we were like, okay, we're going to work on this. And then we finally started recording in like January and February of 2020. And then pandemic came and it was like, okay, now we have to stop recording. We were like banking episodes. We hadn't released anything yet. And we had like 8 episodes banked, and we were sort of like in that weird period of like, how long is this going to go? And it was like, well, we had said like, we're going to start releasing them. So let's just start releasing them. And then by the time we release all 8 of these, like, we'll be able to get back in studio and record more if it's like going well. And then of course that didn't happen. And then we were like, what do we do? And it, like, other people were doing it first. Like, we didn't know what to do, like, and we saw other people do Zoom recordings and we were like, I guess we'll try it. And like, I think both of us were kind of like, this is going to suck, like, I do not want to do this and this was not the intent ever. And then it just was like, well, that wasn't so bad. And then it, like, and then that's just what it became, fully like a pandemic podcast, which is really weird.
Sidebar: during that time, did you guys ever perform on Zoom?
Oh yeah.
Oh, my
nightmare.
God.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
I one time did improv on Zoom.
That's tough. I did one Zoom improv.
Drag me to hell. It was so bad.
Horrible.
Giving a funny line and just like waiting for it to like the internet to catch up so they could like hear it and receive it and yes and it. Mm.
I think the saddest part of that was that there was a part of me that left those and was like, that was fun. Like, you're so starved for like gratification in that way and like performance, and it was like, I did it, like, that was, I felt the rush, and it was like, shut up, that was horrible.
Yeah, no, I remember having conversations where people were like, oh my god, how was that Zoom show, was it terrible? And me being like, you know what, it was actually pretty fun. Like, you'd think it would be like weird, but I don't know, it was just like nice to see people.
I actually loved George's Zoom performance era because he was taking big swings in a way that like was really playful. Like, didn't you have a bit where you were just like balancing stuff on your head or something?
I'm sorry, but that's genius.
It's a genius bit.
Because I have, I mean, in fact, I could do it now, but I have a very flat head and I genuinely can balance like anything on my head.
Well, what's near you right now that you can put on your head?
Let's see. I have hat hair. Let's see. Okay.
While you're getting set up, is any of this like currently on your reel? Holy God.
Like,
wow.
Okay. Well, that's impressive. Wow.
Okay. It's a glass for listeners. For listeners, it's a glass.
I can literally move.
Could you actually fill it up with water? I think that would be more impressive.
I mean, I do actually have a mug of coffee. I have a mug of coffee, but I don't want to risk that.
Yeah, don't risk it.
Is there anywhere we can watch these archive performances from Zoom?
Let me tell you something. I hope not.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Okay, so we have a game today called Heaven or Hell. And this is a game where on a scale of 1 being hell and 10 being heaven, you rank these behaviors. Now, because you guys host the podcast Stradio Lab, we have some straight behaviors that we would love for you to rank today. Blair, do you want to start us off?
All right. Shout singing Sweet Caroline at a wedding. Heaven or hell? Or purgatory?
I'm going to go 4 on this.
Yeah, my instinct was 5, but I will match Sam and say 4. I think that, of course, it is like not great, but I do think there are way worse songs to choose.
And it's like, I hate it. But, you know, I do, anytime straight people have a way to express themselves in a musical way, I am a little bit relieved because that's relieving a pressure that would like, that they don't get to relieve very often.
It's really very true. Like to have a way to take out your aggression that isn't physical violence.
Yeah.
And is in fact the art of song is great.
Really quick. We were kind of tossing in between Sweet Caroline and Mr. Brightside. Would Mr. Brightside kind of be worse or better?
A little bit better for me.
A little better for you. Okay.
Same.
Okay.
That
same.
Might be a 5.
The worst one is like, Don't Stop Believing. Like that is like, I can't do that.
I hate Journey.
Yeah. It's yeah. Too
sorry
much.
For the hot take, but I really hate Journey.
Okay. Number 2, dressing in matching all white for the family Christmas card.
I think this is tough. If it's in studio, I would say it's a 7. Oh. But if it's like on the beach, I would say it's a 3.
Oh.
If it's on the beach, it's fully Republican.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. If it's on the beach,
it's hateful,
you are
it's
voting,
fascistic.
Yeah. It literally has like a little sticker that says like Trump 2024.
Okay. Now, is it better or worse if there's a collage of the family throughout the year surrounding the main picture?
Worse to me.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll agree with George. I'll just say worse.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. I'll let my sister know. She's a big fan of the podcast. Enjoy that.
No, I really think, first of all, I think Christmas card culture, listen, I'm not the first to say that it's almost like hack to be like, oh, why are you sending Christmas cards? Obviously, I don't love Christmas cards, but if you are going to do it, the best thing to do is pick one photo. I would say even make it a tiny bit funny. Don't make it crazy funny. But have like, you know, have draw a mustache on everyone, you know, do something a little campy
or candid, something a little more revealing of your real life. Or, yeah, I mean, my mom is loves professional photography. And it was like the bane of my existence as a child to be like, today we're all putting on our jeans and collared shirts and go into the studio. And it was like, oh, no, but I get whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's also like, who knows what we'll be like as fathers.
So. It'll be like, today's runway is Gaga.
Yeah. Yeah, I was literally about to say, like, everyone in the family dresses as a different Gaga era.
Yeah. Honestly, I love it. Okay, our next one. Owning multiple Yeti Rambler mugs.
Interesting. This is very interesting. This is tough. Okay, so I'm going to talk you through my process because I'm not sure how I feel about this. So these... I do find these to be genuinely erotic. I find like Yeti as a, like when men have like a Yeti cooler that they love, I'm like, that is like hunter gat, like you are like, you could take care of me, like we could live in the woods together. And there's something so like rugged, and it like turns me on and is making me a little bit biased, because I can't and maybe it's hell because it's making me gay sexual, but some maybe in that sense it's two, but at the same time there's something it's Republican. I'll go two, but it's Republican in in the horny way.
Okay. So that's why it's up from zero.
I think that's their new slogan, honestly.
George, what do you think?
I'll agree. I mean, I struggle with these, you know, straight people. Something I've always said is straight people love like a pair of pants that has technology in it. Like straight people love just like something that is for no reason, you know, optimized.
My dad bought me a vest for my birthday that you turn it on and it heats up.
Exactly. No, it's like, it's truly like, it is okay to be uncomfortable for a single minute. Like, you're not going to die. Just like, it's okay to sometimes be cold. It's okay for you to like pour coffee in a mug and then for that coffee to, over the course of the day, get cold. Like, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
So I sort of like, in that sense, I really react negatively against things like that, because I'm like, stop trying to fix it. Just like, enjoy life. But then occasionally you will like be introduced to something like that and you'll be like, wait, it does make my
life.
This
really changes my life. I mean, coolers in general, I'm like really into coolers right now.
Yeah.
It's a big statement.
Okay, next. Wearing your college ring.
That to me is a zero, no questions asked. Like, that is toxic behavior to me. And I know that's an obvious answer. I feel like Sam, you're about to do like an unexpected, like, well, actually, it's jewelry and it's camp.
There's something to it.
Yep, I knew it.
I have like such a childhood thing. Like, my dad and uncle wore their like college rings, and I thought it was like so regal for them to wear all the time. And I'm trying to think, like, there was something about it that was like, I was like, damn, that's what an adult man is. And but maybe that's toxic. I can't tell now. I mean, it's hard. If you're like a 30 something today wearing it, I'd be like, gross, get out of my face. But if you're like a 50 to 60 something man today wearing it, I'm kind of like, that's a slay. So it's tough.
My version of that was having an expensive, like a Rolex watch. Cause like, for instance, like my dad never bought any, you know, doesn't have like expensive clothing. He would just shop at normal stores, but he had like a really nice watch. And to me, that was like, oh, this is adulthood. Like, when I am a grown-up, I will have a really nice watch that I can, like, pass on to my son.
I'm going to say six.
So it's really age-dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Celebrating your 30th with a brewery bar crawl.
This is the one for me. This is one.
For 40th, would it be more heaven or more hell versus 30th?
I think it'd be more
I actually
hell.
Think 40th is better, because 40th, you're like, you have kids, you're doing something fun. Wait, you think 40th is worse?
Yeah, because I'm like, now you have money. Like one, don't hang out with your friends. Like, go on fucking vacation. Like, rent a cabin, you dumb bitch. I'm like...
Wait, so just to get you on the record, you're saying for your 40th, stop hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, Sam is very pro-nuclear family.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to double check.
You get married to someone of the opposite sex, and then you stop hanging out with your friends and establishing intimacy in any way with anyone you're not related
like,
to.
But like a crawl, a brewery crawl... It to me implies a lack of growth and a lack of specificity, and you're like you're getting 40. You should have some niche interests at this point.
Okay.
It's like when you are like 21 and you literally get your license, and it's like where do I go to drink? And it's like, I guess a brewery where they make beer. It's like, sure, like you don't know any better. But by your 40th, you should know where you want to go.
Sure. I guess the crawl is what makes it bad to me for 40th, because I think if you're 40, you have kids, you're wearing a Patagonia vest, whatever.
You're tired.
I think having a party at like a kid-friendly brewery where like all your buddies can bring their newborns is fine. To make it a crawl is like a cry for help, I would say. Because then you're like... Because then, here's the thing, making it a crawl, you're looking for something, you're looking for more than that experience can give you. Like, it's not just the venue for you, it's like, this better, like, we're going, looking for the perfect beer, and if we don't find it, we will suicide pact at the end of the day.
But here's the thing, they're keeping active because they are approaching death, so they need to keep the body moving while enjoying alcohol.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
And is there any difference between, like, a ticketed crawl versus your friend kind of made different spots on their own?
I didn't even know a ticketed crawl was possible.
Oh, I'm so sorry to tell this to you guys. I have been invited to multiple ticketed.
A ticketed crawl?
It's kind of organization being like, we found some spots. We'll get you like, you can get a certain amount of drinks. Like they're kind of like, it's kind of giving resort vibes, but.
It's giving Airbnb experiences.
Yeah, it's giving Airbnb experiences.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's scary. Okay, we have one last one on our list today. K Jewelers.
Oh,
that's a really good one.
That's
a really good one. I'm going to give it a zero.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a zero. Okay. That one just makes me sad, actually. It's not fair what they do.
It really is sad.
What part specifically?
The way...
Is it the romance?
It's
the
like,
jingle?
The idea of like a discount jeweler.
It's like don't have jewels. Like,
yeah,
don't
just don't have jewels.
It's okay. Like, yeah. Wanting to even,
but they have Jane Seymour, the open heart collection.
No.
Guys.
It makes me sad. It's honestly predatory, and it's like believe you need this and believe
it's
this
giving
is good.
MLM.
Yeah, it's giving MLM,
and also I, of course every kiss begins with K. It's like
genius,
it's
right?
Like every
because it's a letter.
Every kill begins with K, and you're gonna kill yourself. More like.
Now, if they could fix their brand, what would you suggest to them?
That'll do. Hey, jewelers, that'll do.
That'll do.
Okay.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Okay, so we've invited you here on the podcast, and I think you know why. It's because Blair and I are experts when it comes to behavior. We've really never done anything bad in our lives. And so I know that you have a story that you'd like to bring us. And I think it involves the two of you. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Let's decide on a pseudonym for the corporation that
okay,
we are.
Okay, let's call it ZB4.
Oh my God, you're on thin ice. Okay, ZB4.
Okay, so we were approached by a national television brand called ZB4. I'll start us at the start and then maybe you can jump off from here, yeah. George. So I worked with someone on a sketch group a million years ago, and we got along, and she messaged me once and was like, hey, I'm working on a reboot series and we're looking for talking heads. We were wondering if you and George could be talking heads. No presh, by the way. I was going to message you both some info so you can look at it together, but just want to check in if I should go through you or your agent first. So this is what we know so far.
Okay.
We're just going to be talking heads. That's it. That's all we know.
And by the way, Sam and I, we know our place. We're not, at that point we had a relatively new podcast that not a lot of people listen to. We are not huge celebrities.
Hey.
We know our place to almost a detrimental point where it would actually be a little bit helpful to be an ounce delusional. And I think it would take us much further than being hyper realistic with what our place is.
So I want to sort of give everyone an idea of what this show, imagine a Talking Heads comedians show. We all grew up with them. Imagine I Love the 90s or whatever. It's sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Sam and I both actually loved those shows growing up and were sort of excited. We were like, oh my God, I would love to be one of those comedians. That's how I remember that's how I first got to know Chelsea Peretti and all these people that I really idolize and whatever. So we're like, perfect, let's do it. And so then I'm now looking at the so first they reached out on Instagram. I'm now looking at the emails. Okay. Everything was very last minute. So it was sort of are you available in 2 days? And we were I guess. And then they sent us a very a sort of long description of the show. We were like, okay, like, fine. But, you know, this is also like sort of things are just reopening post-pandemic, like very much like anywhere you go, you would have to take like 15 COVID tests and be like boosted on the spot in order to do anything. And so the show is somewhat about celebrity, let's say. But at some point we find out that like you're not supposed to be bitchy. You're supposed to be pro celebrities.
You're kind of supposed to be like saying how amazing their life is, and you're supposed to be gross. Like, yeah, isn't this great?
You're like, you're supposed to sort of be like, you know, they are really great philanthropists.
Oh,
whereas like what we were looking forward to is sort of being bitchy gay guys. Okay, so it seems like this all happened legitimately within like 2 days. So we were like, okay, let's do it. Then we get a rate for it, and the rate is, in fact, should we say what the exact rate
yeah,
is?
Say it.
Yeah, you got the receipts.
I think it was $500 for both of us.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'm sorry, this is for a day shoot or how long?
So here's the thing. It's for a day shoot, but then we find out what we are doing will be used in 4 episodes. So we will be getting paid $500 to be in 4 episodes of
a television show.
I can't stress enough how Sam and I are like, literally not, to this day, not getting opportunities. Like, it's not like we're like so up our own asses that we're like, oh, please, like, I don't pick up the phone for under $1 million. Like, we are very humble. We're very down to earth. We have nothing. Like, we are truly like not making a lot of money here. But I was like, okay, at some point we have to draw the line somewhere. Like, we can't be paid $500 to be in 4 episodes of a television series like produced by a conglomerate.
Yeah.
So Sam, Sam, you can take it from
so
there.
So then we basically were like, hey, can we like, we're having second thoughts and I think we said like, we said we were feeling a bit unsure and that we didn't want to commit because it felt like not a good time to commit. And like, we were like sending to our reps and sort of being like, is this, and they were like, we can't do anything if you're literally shooting tomorrow. And we were like, I think we were actually even shooting that afternoon and they told us the rate.
That's the thing. We were shooting that afternoon. And also I'm now realizing, okay, so in my email, I had just come back literally the day before from a family vacation. So I was sort of, all of this was happening very like, I was just sort of saying yes without like fully reading the email.
Right.
And Sam, you were like very swamped with, again, these are not excuses. I'm just like, all of this happened within 48 hours where they're like, you know, there's a form of, you know, leading the witness that happens where they're like, so you'll be there tomorrow? And you sort of like feel like you can't even say no.
And no contract has been signed yet, correct?
No contract has been signed. And so then we basically say we're feeling unsure. Then, so my friend, part of it was this like friend I had who was like involved, and she was like, totally understand, like my boss wants to hop on the phone with you guys. So then we get on the phone with this producer, and she is just ready to tear our assholes wide open. She is being like, you know, we hired people to light this and film this, and if you don't get here, you know, you're wasting their time and you're wasting our budget. And she was just like absolutely going in and being like, no, you need to get here because like people are missing their families because of the shoot. And we were kind of like I talk about conflict, I'm like freaking out, and George remains cool, calm, and collected. And I feel like George is like, I don't know if you said this, but it was basically like, if it's that important, then pay us more. Do you want to take it from here? Because
well, I do. I mean, I did sort of kick into high gear in a way that I hadn't in a while. I mean, my old conflict seeking self really came out, and I was like, this woman is speaking to me. Like, I mean, it is just so clear that she works on these kinds of shoots all the time. Everyone is so disposable and replaceable to her. She has no idea who we are. She's literally just looking for any New York-based sort of comedian or writer or podcaster or Instagrammer of any kind who would be willing to work for $200. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't give a fuck who it is. It's not like she's reaching out and she's like, we think we'd be such a great fit for this. She's literally just like Googling gay, you know?
It's really doing the work.
Like, from the beginning of getting on this call, it was confrontational. She didn't like first say like, I know this is like all happening very fast, but we would really appreciate it if you could come. She like gets on the call and she goes, okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. This is not ideal. Do you remember, Sam? That was like exactly the first thing she said. She was like, I'm going to be honest. Like, this is pretty frustrating. We thought we literally had a shoot plan. And I'm like, there is no way. Because we were told about this, again, at most 48 hours previously. Like, the idea that we were booked and then they built a shoot around us is simply not true.
You're like, I just got off my flight from JFK. There's still sand in my shoes.
I would not be surprised if we are replacing someone more famous. Like, you know, or maybe not. Maybe they do everything last minute. I don't know. The point is, I honestly would have been, because we both felt extremely bad for canceling last minute. And if she had been a little more polite, I do think both of us would have basically been like, okay, we'll do it. Like, genuinely.
When we talked to my friend, we were kind of like, oh, well, like, she is in a tough spot. And like, it would be fun to just like be on TV in this thing. And
yeah.
And then like, she immediately started conflict in a way that was like, oh, it's a fight. And
yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, it's we also like she was doing like a character from The Hills. Like, it's like she was literally like acting as though she was in a reality show. And this is the scene where the producers have told her she has to like be like a psycho to talent.
Mm-hmm. OK,
so basically, I just like I really something clicked that I was like, if this is the energy I'm getting, I'm coming at you like even stronger. And I was like, to be quite frank, this rate is offensive. And then of course I start like lying and I'm like, we have done so many other, like, I'm truly like, you know, we've been paid more for doing an Instagram post. Not true.
Well, the thing is, that's actually not true.
Like, it's not actually, that's true. Cause you've done things like that when you were at Comedy Central. Yeah. So that was true. In fact, by coincidence, but I was like, and it's also like, I know the rates for, it's like, literally, I know people who have gotten paid more to post one thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm like, yeah, we said yes to this because it seemed fun and we thought it would be just like a quick thing. But you're telling us we're going to be in four episodes and we're going to be paid $250. Like, that is quite frankly like offensive. Yeah. And we're not going to like go spend an entire day somewhere and come back with like as much money as we're paying for like the Uber or whatever. And then she says the word exposure. She goes, well, it's great exposure. And I was like,
classic.
Do you not understand that what you just said is like a joke? Like, that is literally like a joke that would be in, you know, The Other Two or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a joke that would be like in a show about the entertainment industry. I'm like, how are we having this conversation? This feels like we're in a reality show. So basically, we just like sort of
bailed,
hung up on her.
Okay.
Or maybe she hung up on us. I don't remember. But it was it very much ended on the note of like, okay, well, bye, bitch. Like, and then, Sam, your friend called us to sort of like debrief.
Yeah. Because
your friend was on the call, but like muted.
Yes.
They did kind of four-way call.
It was like Mean Girls vibes.
Yeah, Mean Girls.
But my friend was actually really, really understanding. And she was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, she's being insane and like, you guys are fine. My friend was very understanding, which was nice because I didn't want to, but maybe I did get her fired. Who knows?
Well, that's the other thing. There's so many intersecting layers where it's like, all this aside, we are making this other person look bad in a sense. And yes, she didn't give us the full details in advance or whatever. Like, there's a way it could have been communicated better, but it is not her fault. Like, it's so clear that it's like, it's a systemic issue. Like, this production was not well run.
And also, this show never ended up on TV, by the way.
Can you say what the show was called? We can bleep it.
Yeah, it was called The F***. It was a reboot of that, basically.
Oh.
Now, so is your main conundrum in this story, if you guys were in the right, or if she was in the right because you had agreed and then backed out, or is the question more with putting your friend at risk of losing her job? I guess, what's kind of the moral question you would love us to dive into?
Well, I think morally we were wrong, technically, because we did agree to something and bailed truly with an hour to go.
Oh, it was one single hour.
Like, close to.
Essentially.
Well, what happened with your friend?
I think it's, well, I actually don't know. I actually have no idea.
Oh, no. So they're not really a friend, it sounds
acquaintance,
like.
Acquaintance.
Is the friend still in the picture today?
No, we don't like hang out, but it was acquaintance vibes.
And do you know if their career trajectory has gone up or down?
it's not gone publicly up, but it has not gone publicly down either.
I think this is someone that works in production. Like, I think it's sort of like this. Because I have, you know, many friends that work in production. It's just like you have good gigs and you have bad gigs. I don't think this gig sounds like it was good for anyone. Like, I bet you that that this call with us was not the worst part of that job for her.
Unfortunately, because this show really never made it to air, we don't even know the people that did end up doing it, if they got huge exposure. Do we know who replaced you?
I mean, when we talked to each other on the phone, we were definitely being like, well, who are they going to give this to?
And we were literally like, we were being so bitchy because we were like, oh, who are they going to, this is a fake name that I just made up. But like, we were literally like, oh, what are they going to give it to, Alex Turner? Like, you know, it's just like, and mentioning all these people we hate.
But
wait, I'm looking up like reboot. I'm looking up the name of the show and reboot.
And you still want us to be?
Yeah, let's do that. Just because I don't care about that specific thing, but it's like
in case they do go through with it, and you want to get
no. Spoiler alert. We're still not being paid like millions of dollars per day. So like, I'm very down if they want to give us a slightly higher rate. I'm very down. But no, I don't think this, because I'm looking it up now. This wasn't even announced like on Deadline.
Oh, it didn't even make it to Deadline?
No.
Well, maybe they were waiting for you guys to secure your place on the show, and then they would announce it.
Maybe we literally sank the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I think that's such a tough thing, because I think what this industry kind of loves to do is they love to do this. One, do you know what we went through? Do you know how much we had to do, you know? And so then you're kind of guilted of a past generation's trauma that you're like, well, I would love to kind of surpass that. And they're like, no. And yeah, I think the selling of exposure is a real thing. And especially when you're younger in your career, you're like, is this the truth? Like, and it can be a scary thing to say no or turn down. And within an hour, that is definitely very, very scary.
Well, this is the other thing that I think many people don't know. And again, in my very limited experience with, you know, getting actual work, it's that every single thing happens last minute. And that's just by design.
Now, when you were on the call, did you give them a rate you wanted? Did you try to negotiate?
She did ask.
You just say like, okay.
And I don't know what we said. I think, George, you were kind of like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I could be making this up, but I think it might have been like, the way you're talking to us, there is no number that would make us feel better.
Did I say that?
I actually think you said that in a way that, like, but I'm
but
not
don't
sure.
You, but didn't she say at some point they said they can pay us more? I know that. Like, she did not. I don't know if she offered more money, because she really, that's why she said the exposure thing. Or maybe she said something offensive that was like, we can pay you like 50 more or something.
Yeah, it might have been something like that.
I think
that.
It was something like that. But no, I would have.
Well, there was also something where she was like, we're paying everyone this rate. Do you think you're better than those other people?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
And we were like.
And so you guys do think you're better than those other people.
I mean, I think we're better negotiators. We didn't have to.
I mean, really can't stress enough how both Sam and I were like, we'll probably end up doing this. Like, we feel bad. And this woman was so rude to us. And both of us have a high tolerance. Like, neither of us is the type to... I have never spoken rudely to a waiter, a customer service representative. Like, I genuinely, we are not difficult in that way. We might be difficult in other ways, but we're not difficult in that way. Like, it takes so much for us to be yelling at a producer on the phone.
All right. I know this might seem surprising, but Sam, I don't know if you recall... You did mention earlier in this podcast that you believe for 40th birthdays that friends are out and family is in. Do you recall?
Yeah, I recall.
Okay, he's nodding. Now, on set, kind of her big thing is that you both were taking people away from their families. And if we remember anything, it's that family's the number one in your book.
Wow.
And so for that, I'm going to have to go bad behavior today.
You're right. The hypocrisy speaks for itself.
That was like Kellyanne Conway level.
Yeah, I had no idea the games that we would get into today, but you're right.
I'm so sorry. We're very harsh.
Sterling, I echo that sentiment. And you guys didn't take into account what this woman was going through. You know, you just blatantly said, hey, we're not going to show up. And they were working with you. They were like, we're going to give you 50 whole more dollars. And you're like, no. And, you know, the exposure, I can't, you know, so much exposure you could have gotten from that.
An unaired TV show, you never know where that could have gone.
I was about to say, literally.
You never know.
Yeah.
They could have sold it to Hulu. We have no idea. And they still could.
It just makes me emotional to think about how much she was fighting for you guys. And you just like, you spit in her face. And that's, it hurts on behalf of her.
Yeah.
So Blair, we're officially deeming them bad behavior. And that's really goes well on Doomford to sync up.
Yeah, that was really great.
You know that.
Okay, so if we can, we have some punishments for you.
Oh,
wow. Because we think this crime was so terrible, we're going to have you both read a different apology, if that works for you guys.
The first apology is from Tinks.
Wait, can I do that? I went to college with her.
Did you really?
Yeah. I actually am obsessed with her. Oh, we didn't know each other, but I'm obsessed with her eyes and like need to, I would love to read her apology.
So George, we will have you go first as Tinks.
I called people that I had never met fat, pathetic, and ugly. When I read the tweets back, I am ashamed and embarrassed. They are mean-spirited and I am not mean-spirited. But I used to be.
Wow. And that really fits this exact scenario so well. So thank you so much for that. Do you feel kind of some guilt that's been lifted?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm petrified right now because I feel like we described it in a way where we do actually come across as the assholes.
No.
But luckily, the words of my former classmate Tinks really are a bomb.
Okay, good. Okay, Sam, whenever you're ready.
You will be doing Paula Deen.
Oh, wow. Iconic. Okay. And I'm going to be channeling myself and sort of my crime.
Okay, great.
Because I live my life the way I believe. And like I said, if you've never committed a sin, please pick up that rock, pick up that boulder, and hit me as hard as you can.
Wow.
Wow.
It was kind of defensive, to be honest. I'm reading Paula's apology and I'm like, she wasn't saying sorry. She was just saying,
well, she was here's the thing. She was crying when she did it.
And these are just parts of the apologies, to be honest. But well, thank you both so much. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where to follow you guys and when the podcast comes out?
Our podcast is at Stradiolab on Instagram and Twitter and available anywhere you get your podcasts. And it comes out every single Tuesday. You can find me on Instagram at Sam Taggart. And I think I'm going to stop doing Twitter, but I'm at Sam T. Taggart on Twitter.
Oh, my God. I wish I could. Yeah. And you can find me at George Severus on all platforms. And please report me so that I can be put out of my misery.
Love it. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us. This was so fun.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.